Let's just say the dates are predictable. I don't know what. Rob and Kim, tell us about your dates. Go ahead. Pop it up.
Oh.
Go ahead. You guys have a test. Again, you still. What up? I know. So tell us about your typical date. How often and where you go. When you're at dinner, what do you talk about mostly?
Yes, I do. Okay. He had full head of dark hair. And beautiful blue eyes and a beard. Big, full, well, how, what would you like me to say? Yeah. I mean, not a Robertson beard, but. Well, is that the Christmas party? Yes. Well, we didn't know, you know, if it was a date, yeah. So we went to a Christmas party at J. St. John's house. Yes. And I was 18, and how old were you? Yeah.
Second date, what we do? This is good. All right, what we do?
We drove, okay, yeah, we drove out to Romanose State Park in the snowstorm. Ran around in the snow, and... Yes, yes. And sang Kenny Rogers in the car. It was his idea. We had he wrecked his truck. He took a corner too fast, which, why am I not surprised? He got back in the car and drove away. It was night. I mean, nobody else was around. So what were you going to do?
Where did we have dinner?
Oh, yes. Sonic. It was very lovely.
Where did we go before Sonic?
Oh, yeah. We went shopping for because it was Christmas time. So we went shopping, and we went to Toys R Us. It was quite a while. It was a it was about two or three. We were the only two people in the theater, and we took in Kentucky Fried Chicken in my great big bag. This is embarrassing. In the theater. Up. I remember going to a video store and being able to, a videotape store, yes, and thinking I had seen all the movies that were out. Like, oh.
All right. Why do we have these? You can sit down because you don't know what to do with these. I want Thank you. Okay. This is a letter that I think it's an extremely helpful tool to understand what happens to people the one command that we do is not to use the truth about this people. Thank you.
Okay. I've read this several times, so I should get through it okay now without crying. But this is fast forward 10 years. So she's 9 or 11 years. Yeah. Okay. Is it okay not to be okay? It's been put on my heart to share a little bit of my own story and the things that I have learned through it all in the hopes that it would be an encouragement to those who read it. Is it okay not to be okay? If you asked me this question growing up, my answer would have been that it is perfectly fine to have problems, but I did not truly believe in that or live it out. It just sounded like the right thing to say. I was living hurting and broken with a smile on my face to keep up a certain appearance, saying the right things so people would believe that there was nothing wrong with me. I was living in brokenness and despair, but I was too prideful to admit the problems that were taking over my life. Up until recently, the anxiety that comes with trying to live a life that looks perfect and happy on the outside consumed me. Keeping up a certain image put a lot of unnecessary pressure onto my life, only driving me deeper into the darkness. I've slowly but surely come to realize that it really is okay not to be okay. It is okay to be broken and not able to fix yourself. It is okay to be lost in a dark hole, not knowing where to turn. And the reason that it is okay is because there is someone bigger, someone who reaches in and fixes your brokenness, someone who is a light shining through the darkness leading you home. There are two specific aspects of my life that I tried really hard to keep in the dark because I was ashamed, but I have come to realize that they are more common than I recognized for a long time. My hope is that by sharing them, you can know and be encouraged that you are not the only one who struggles and can find hope in the things I have learned. Growing up, I can thankfully say that there is not a day I remember when I did not believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I grew up in a wonderful Christian home with my dad as a pastor. I knew the truth and loved the Lord, but I don't think that I really truly had a relationship with him until I was around 12 years old. The events of that year play a huge role in how I became the person I am today and why I have come to the realization that it is okay to have problems. During this year, I began to have thoughts that terrified me and sent me running to my parents in the middle of the night. I did not know how I could have thought up something as terrible as those. I began to have dreams with evil images that are still ingrained in my mind. In these times of trouble, my parents constantly reminded me of Jesus' perfect love and how it cast out fear, and that he was walking right next to me through this trial. These reminders kept me safe all of those nights, but the thoughts and images have followed me throughout the years, always resting in the back of my mind, waiting to attack. And although when I would have episodes, I put my trust in the Lord to get me through them, I was still ashamed and scared of what people would think of me if they knew what was going on inside my head. Following all of this, I also began to develop depression and anxiety, which I also wanted to keep a secret. I did not want to be perceived as having a problem or being crazy. I thought there was something wrong with me and that something that I should be ashamed of. Living in this fear of what people would think of me if they knew made me feel isolated and alone, like no one really fully understood me. And as the thoughts and images would come back, there seemed like there was no escape. I wanted nothing more than to be able to get out of this cycle and be normal. The harder I searched for an escape, the darker my thoughts would become and the more alone I would feel. I was stuck in a terrible rut, too prideful and afraid to ask for help. Another aspect of my life I desperately tried to cover up was my relationship with my family and my parents, specifically my mother. We would butt heads for as long as I can remember. No, I got it. I got this. Okay, we would butt heads for as long as I can remember. With my dad's job, I felt responsible for upholding a certain image so that he would look good in front of the church. I did not want to be the screw-up kid. that ruined my father and my family's reputation. And I especially did not want to ruin his credibility on teaching and parenting. So I placed a ton of pressure on myself to look like the perfect child. And I decided not to let people know that I fought with my mom all the time. Again, by bottling all this up, I spiraled into depression and contributed to my feelings of isolation. But I kept telling myself that I was fine because I looked okay on the outside. But in reality, I was so broken. I was so broken on the inside. All of this epitomized one day when I came home from school and had gotten into another argument with my mother. It ended with my dad coming in my room later that night and telling me that I needed to move out if I was going to act that way, and that I was not allowed to be in this family if that was how I was going to treat someone. Nothing else anyone has said ever resonated with me so much. It struck me to the core. I've never felt so sad and alone as I did in that moment, but yet I was so proud of my dad for standing up for his family and loving his wife so well. It devastated me to hear, but it is exactly what I needed in that moment. I had nowhere to turn. In my pride, I wanted to leave, but I had nowhere to go. I did not want anyone to know my dad's family could be this broken. From that conversation, I realized first that I had to stop living in my sin, but my loneliness drove me to also realize that I needed to talk to people about what was going on in my life and that I am not a perfect person and we are not a perfect family. So I needed to stop trying to fake it. As I started being more open and honest about my struggles, I discovered I was not alone. All of my sins and struggles are natural, and everyone has them. They just manifest themselves in different ways. Each person is hiding something that they are afraid to show the world, no matter how fine they seem. I want to encourage all reading this to dig deep and let go of that pride. Humble yourselves to understand that it is okay not to be okay. It is a beautiful thing to be broken. Our brokenness is a wonderful reminder of God's grace. He came down to fix our aches and to heal all of our imperfections. Jesus came to walk right beside you through the darkness, never letting go of your hand and shining as a light for you to see the way out. I think that this is something a lot of Christians struggle with. I feel like as a group of people, we put a pressure on ourselves to appear a certain way to society. We want to look like we have perfect lives so as to shed a good light on our religion. But that is not what our faith is about, and that is the beauty of it. Our faith is not about living an easy, happy life. It is about living a really hard life. But having the Lord of Lords to walk right by your side all the way through it. It is about the joy that resides in our hearts, regardless of the circumstances. The truth is, all of us live in a very real darkness, but we have a glorious light shining before us, leading us home. That is the most important part. I believe that it is crucial for Christians and everyone to realize it is okay not to be okay. No one is okay. This is why Jesus had to die. But because he did die, we have someone who enters into our brokenness and repairs us. He lets us use him as a flashlight to search through the darkness, and in easier times continue to shine the light so that others can see his light and reach out for it, then using it themselves to get through their own struggles. From all of this, I want you to gather and be encouraged that we are all broken people, but it is okay because we have a perfect Savior. It is okay to be broken, depressed, and alone. It is okay to be confused, to have questions and doubts, and not know what you want. It is okay to have problems. It is okay because out of love, Christ has healed your hurt and repaired all that is broken. Fought, you know. She said that was what she was afraid of, that people would think that. And Which is why we would fight a lot. No. Mm-mm. Not like that. Nope. And it's so inconvenient. It will never be convenient. It will never be convenient to have these kind of conversations with your kids, or to have them approach you, and you have to really give your time because you're tired. You're tired.